This morning we are pleased to have Benedict Candom to come and to share with us, and it is an honor and a joy to have him to be part of this morning. And my brother, if you'll come up, I'd like to pray for you as you prepare to bring to us what the Lord's laid on your heart. Heavenly Father, I lift up our brother Bennett. I pray, Lord, that you will speak through him, that you will just fill him with your spirit, that he might overflow into our lives. Give us ears to hear and hearts that are attentive. For this is our prayer in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Good morning, church. I'm going to try and do as much as I can for 30 minutes. While I'm saying that is that I've been working with refugees since 2002. North American Mission Board sent me there to work with them. But most of the stuff that we do, I never thought I would do it. But through Christ that strengthened us, we able to do exceedingly abundantly, not above, but we getting there. But we thank God for what he has been doing. It's going to be a two-part message that I'm going to share with you this morning. I'm not going to talk about most of the stuff you hear on TV or what you hear they're doing on the streets, but I'm going to try and share with you the basic biblical perspective on refugees. We know about what is going on, but that's not my job. My job, even before all that happened, was to do what God called me to do in Clarkson. We're not going to be in that area. So if you think about what you hear on TV, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to even touch it, because that's not what God called me to do. What God called me to do, that's what I'm going to share with you. So I have 30 minutes that I'm going to squeeze this in. I'm going to set this thing and see how it's going to go. When I get to being so close, I usually go a little bit faster than what I'm supposed to. So please, y'all bear with me. Born and raised in Nigeria, came here in 1982. That's a long way, a long time ago, and I'm still speak like our people back yonder. So please be trying and hear me out a little bit. I should be sharing with you about refugees, but most of the thing that I wanted to do, this is how the Holy Spirit works. Most of the thing that I saw in the handout that you gave, Pastor Jimmy, half of what I have to share this morning, the Bible verses is on there. So I can just get up and go on home, and you have the handout, and you can, I'm, honestly, that's basically what I have on my notes. So what I'm going to share with you is taken from the book of Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46. But I'm going to lay emphasis on verses 35 and 36 that says, I was a stranger and you invited me in. Jesus said that. So please, let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I surrender myself to you this morning. Father, I cannot do anything without you. I'm asking you this morning, oh God, Father, that you will empower me to do whatever you ask me to do this morning, whatever you brought me here to do, oh God. Father, I pray that you will prepare the ears and the heart, that they will hear and they will take this as coming from you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will fill me this morning and guide my tongue in whatever I say, oh God. Thank you for this church, oh God, for inviting me. I pray for your blessings on them. In Jesus' name, amen. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we need to take a biblical stand on what we're hearing on the street every day and what they're pumping at us, we need to take a biblical stand. What we have to do is, when North Americans send me to Clarkson to reach out to refugees, think about this. This happened in 2002. And look at today, 2017. North American Mission Board, thank God for what they have been doing, research and development. They know more than what they know in Washington, D.C. So they sent me there in 2002. You mean there were no refugees in 2002? Yes, there were. So what is the big deal with what they're making noise on the street today? Instead of us looking at what we're supposed to do as Christians, as a church, what are we supposed to do? We need to start asking ourselves questions. Should we look at the war, or should we look at God, the church? So when North American Mission Board sent us to Clarkson in 2002, so there were refugees then. Even before then, when the refugees started coming, thank God for leadership in Alfred at North American Mission Board. They were the heart of a Christ. They see things the way Christ would see things. So they sent me there since 2002. We have been struggling, trying to get people know what is going on in your country so that everybody can be on the same page. Even not in the same page, it's a big country, I understand that. But to look at one another and share Christ with one another. Let me share one thing with you. What God placed in my heart is this. We all pray, thy kingdom come. I like it when people send me an email. They say, until their signature will go like this, until all have heard. And we have received that. How will they hear? Look at it the way God is looking at things. God can look at what is going on, like he has always been doing when he moved Abraham from his hometown and move him to someplace else. Like he moved Noah and put him on a boat to go somewhere else and ended up in Mount Ararat. God knew what he's doing right now. He's sending these people so that you and I can reach out to them, so that his word that would never return void will come true. Guess what he said? He said he's not coming until all have heard. So the people coming, look at it like God looking at things. He's tearing up stuff and go like, well, them folks in Pakistan will not ever hear. They wouldn't even let a church go on there. Or maybe folks in Iraq or some other part of the world would not let a church even build, would not let you go there and evangelize. He said, okay, I'll bring them to you. In that case, you don't have to worry about security. You don't have to worry about anything. You just get up and they're there. You reach out to them. That's a way of the Great Commission, you fulfilling the Great Commission. So what I'm going to share with you is the people we serve. Slide number 2, please. If you wouldn't mind, I wouldn't be able to read all that stuff. I will just hit most of the point. So read with me. I'll go through it as we go. Every single year, the United States of America, so I'm trying to prepare your mind to see what you see on the street is not something that just happened. It has been going on. It has been going on so long, North American Mission Board find that out, and they send me to class. And so what you're seeing on the street, it has been going on for so long. Every single year, this country, thank God for America, this country bring in between 50 to 70,000 refugees every single year. And they're coming from wherever you've ever heard of war going on. They're coming from those areas, Iraq, Kosovo, when I think President Reagan was just leaving office, even far back from then, they have been coming. So what are we doing making a lot of noise now? It has been going on. But God, we thank God for bringing them, and we thank God for America for opening their doors to bringing them in. Who is really a refugee? Another slide. Who is a refugee? This happened in a convention they had in Geneva in 1951, defined who a refugee is. The red line that you see there, 50 million refugees, I will come back to that. 50 million refugees live all over the world. So think about this, 50 million people that don't have a place to go, don't have any belonging. The same thing you see on TV, those are the people that we're talking about now. They don't have a clue who they are. So that's the people that we serve. America only bring in between 50 and 70,000. That's a lot of people that don't speak your language, don't do anything that you do. They don't understand the custom, they don't understand the culture. Example, thank God for God protecting this country. What would happen if today or tomorrow, today something happened and you ship to China? How will you communicate? How will you do anything? Your kids go to school and come back with a piece of paper that you don't know if it's north, south, east, or west. You cannot read a link. But you're a college graduate. You cannot help a second grade with homework. Put yourself in that situation for a second. That's what these people are going through. When Nam sent me to Clarkson, my wife and I showed up. We thought, well, ooh, we have arrived. We're going to preach. Then you find out that nobody speaks English. You even go to their home and knock on the door. They look at you. They're trying to read your lips. They still can't get it. So what we did, we started with an after-school program with two kids, a table with one leg. Barely 3 months later, we had 55 children. My wife and I, we thought we're going to go be a pastor, preach. It don't work like that in Clarkson. So we ended up doing something that we never even thought of doing in ministry. Next slide, please. Now, I want you to look at what we have. As a follower of Jesus Christ, look at that chart right there. Among all the religions that represent refugees, represent that come to this country, 31% Christians. Look at the race of the people that come to your country. Pastor Jimmy, that's a lot of people. And I believe this church, you have a space for them. Look at Muslims that come to this country, 23% of them, and they're increasing. Last couple of years, they were majority that they were bringing in. We have 11% others, people that they don't have a clue if they're Christians or belong to any of that group. Next, please. And this is where I want to bring your attention back. This is how good this country is. I believe somebody said one time that only in America, only this country, I'm speaking for myself. I don't know what other people think. This is a great country. Never, ever, if you travel a lot, you will know what I'm saying, that this is the best country on this planet. A lot of people look at that and go like, yeah, what about this, what about that? Excuse me. Go to other countries. This is my challenge. When you go to any country you go to in the world, I don't care which country, go to the United States Embassy and go to other countries' embassy. Look at how long the line is waiting to come to America. And look at how long the line is waiting to go to other countries, people waiting online. Now, when you finish that, now you come tell me which line was longer. If the country is not that good, why do you have a line wrapped around a building or block and the other ones don't have anyone standing there looking to go to their country? So that means you have something to offer. God is still a God that is blessing this country from the founding fathers that took it to God. And now we think we know everything. We want to take it away from God so that we will end up like other countries on the planet that are not going anywhere. I'm begging you, my brothers and my sisters, let's not go over there. Let's pray and thank God for what he has done. Let's work together and help these people that God is bringing into our midst so that they can join. We can see them another day in eternity, not just my neighbor, but we will see them in eternity. Look at how many people United States resettled. That was in 2013. Remember I said between 50 and 70,000 refugees that they bring into this country. Okay? Look at how many they settled. 66,200. Now look at other countries. I don't mean to poke a hole on other countries or make fun of them. Look at other countries. Look at how many they're taking. Now you tell me which is still the best country standing on this planet. God has blessed this country. And I really pray that this country stay the same way. Less than 1% of the world refugee population are resettled. Remember I said 50 million. In 2013, 98,400 people. That's a far away cry from the number of 50 million, 150, whatever that number was. It was 15 million. That's a far away cry from 15 million. So 15 million minus 98,400, that's still a lot of people walking around there somewhere in the world that have never heard, never known anywhere, never go anywhere, and they will never ever, and some of them are dead already, and never heard about Christ. So what are we going to do? I know you're all involved in so many things. You're all involved in a ministry in a Dominican Republic, Pastor. You're already doing this. This is not new to you. You're involved in that. You're involved in the children's home. You're already doing it. I'm just asking, please come help me in Clarkson. Help us in Clarkson. Clarkson is a place that the most diverse 1 square mile in southeastern United States. It's so diverse. If you come to Willow Branch, we work out of a two-apartment community. We used to have three, but because of lack of resources, we cut one out and just concentrate on two locations. The legs that we work in, we operate part of our ministry, is on a 50-acre plot, almost 700 units, 100% occupied. You come there, I'll take you around. It looked like a little city. 23 countries on that property. The one next door, we started 17 countries on that property. I'm not talking about a driving list, I'm talking about walk across the street, you there. In this 1 mile square city, we have a mosque, two of them, in 1 mile. We have a Hindu temple, we have a Buddhist temple, in 1 mile. They know who we are. It's a stronghold city. So how are we going to reach them? Okay. Next slide, please. Why should we care about these people? They're coming in, day out. Why should we care? Remember, they rejected. Their people kicked them out. So refugee situation is not a new thing. It's just like now We see this stuff all over on the news, but like I'm telling you, 2002, that's when NAM sent me to Clarkson. It was there. And even before NAM sent me there, in the biblical times, we had refugee situation. Example, Noah. God had to move him because the people were not listening to what God told Noah to do. God had to ask Noah build a boat. Noah get in a boat and his family, and they were gone to some place they didn't even know. These are the same people. These are the people we're serving. That when they run, when they bring them here, when they load them up and take them to a refugee camp, they don't have a clue where they're going to. The same thing Noah that happened to Noah. Get in the boat. He obeyed God. Get in the boat. Locked the door. Didn't know where they're going to land. Abraham, the same thing. You go down the Bible, Lot, from Genesis to Revelation, there's so many people, including Elijah the prophet, was displaced. The three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were in Babylon. So this is not new. Why it look like it's new now is because you see it on TV all the time, but it was there all this time. Even since as far back as 2002 when they sent me there. So how are we going to care about them? Jesus cared enough. I told you, Pastor Jimmy did a message. Matthew 25, verse 45. If you look at that, Jesus already make aware how we care about these people. Because on that day, he will ask you, what did you do for this one, the least of this, the very least of this that I sent to you amiss? We don't need to keep on saying until all have heard. We need to understand one thing. God has already equipped us to do this. Like I say, you involved in a ministry in India, Pastor. That's to the utmost part of the earth. So you're already doing it. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to utmost part of the earth. You're already doing it. I'm here just to ask you, please, help us in Clarkson. The same thing you're doing when you go to Dominican Republic. The same expression you will see on these people's faces. You have people, I work with people that the family came to America. 2004, the kid was in second grade. Now she's pre-med. So when you start working with one, it don't just roll away and go where after they finished maybe middle school. We've had them since 2002. The kid is in medical school, pre-med at Georgia State. The father bought a home because my wife worked with most of them through financial management. They're not going to go back because especially the Iraqis and Afghanis that are here, they're not ever going to go back again. These people are not going to go back, so this is home for them. When they go back home, they will not make it because those Iraqis, those that are here, those are the ones that were helping our government. So they are wanted people over there. So if they go back, chances is that they're going to get killed. So they call here home. So they're not going back again. So that gives us opportunity to not take advantage, but fulfill the Great Commission. Basically, fulfilling the Great Commission, we wouldn't be able to go to the utmost part of the earth over there, but God brought them here so that we can reach them. So I'm asking you all to come get involved in what he's doing. Yes. I told you about how many strongholds we have in Clarkson. Buddhists, Hindus, two mosques. The same thing that, ladies, the same thing that you see when you go get pretty in the beauty shop, Buddha sitting down, and they're putting stuff in front of Buddha, in front of maybe a piece of plastic or something. You go to homes, they have those in their homes. We are in a very strong whole community. So you don't just walk up there or get up in the morning and go like, oh, it's a beautiful day, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. I'm going to do ministry in class. And it don't work like that. You got to pray it up. The same thing you do when you go to Dominican Republic or you go to ministry in Haiti especially. You don't just get up and go like, oh, it's a beautiful day, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. Let's go do ministry. It don't work like that. Because you come back, you get so much resistance that you wouldn't be able to do anything. The best thing you do is bathe it in prayer. Let God do it. Know that the Holy Spirit, there's not a thing that you can do. Not a thing that I can do. But the Holy Spirit that God said, when the Holy Spirit come upon you in Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses. When the Holy Spirit take over, then it's not you. Then whatever you do is not hard. It's a piece of cake because the Holy Spirit already taken it over. Most of the time when a team come, oh, we're going to do this. I said, no, time out. How many days you stay? Oh, we're going to do a whole week. I said, no, time out. We take the first day, do orientation. Then I send you out in the community. Prayer work. Bring down those strongholds. Call heaven, surrender it to heaven. Then you go to work and watch what God is going to do. But when you show up, it's a beautiful day, Mr. Roger neighborhood. Mr. Roger, I don't live in Clarkson. You're going to get something very disappointing because people are going to ask you questions that you go, like, I never even thought about that. So what are y'all doing here? They're going to bring politics in and ask you questions that you go like, I'm not ready for that. We do training. We use the same thing NAM encourage. I really encourage NAM, push it out to all short-term missionaries that are going for a week, the three circles. It's real quick. Get to the point, and that's it. I do those training with college students when they come on spring break. We take one day and practice on each other, and they practice on each other. And we done. Three Circles is on NAM website, and they highly recommend that. So those are the kind of thing that we use so that you know how when you go out there, it's not, Clarkson is not like any other community. This is why you can meet someone, that one from Haiti or Iraq. The next person you meet may be from Kosovo, the next person you meet, so it's you meet parts of people from different countries, from different groups. So when you get them together, we have a children's choir. When all these kids from Burmese, Bhutanese, when they get together, the African, when they get together and do and sing, my wife teaches a children's choir. Man, you talk about heaven. The music sounds so good because it's coming from these kids from different areas, from different countries, that without God bringing them to this country, they would never, ever know or meet each other. It's a beautiful place. Yes, ma'am. We rely on prayers a lot and stay connected to God. He is the resources. He is the power. Without God, and I cannot stress this enough, without God, without prayers, we are toast. It may sound like I'm dumping it on him. Yes, I am. Because that's what he said, cast your burdens onto me. And take up my joke. I can't. I'll be honest with you. I can barely speak English. Not to talk about working with people from 23 countries. There's no way I can do that. But guess what? I cast it on him. And that means I stay connected to him. I depend on him. Because that's what he asked me to do. And that's what he wants. And if you don't do that and you unplug from the power source, guess what? It's not going to be any fire. You're just going to be one of them. And that's all it is. In Clarkson that we have the war has come to Clarkson, really. So it's not only Baptist missionaries in Clarkson. You have the Mormons sending missionaries. You have the Muslims sending missionaries. You have all these people coming down. Let me tell you something. That's not a place to come and call Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. I'm being honest with you. Because you have people that, the Mormon, the people that don't believe in Christ, that kick down whatever you and I believe, they don't believe in that at all. And let me tell you something. This is what I'm going to bring to your attention. You're born and hear about wars in Africa, right? There is going to constantly, till we all go to heaven, there will be wars in Africa. Nobody can stop that, period. Everybody sending aid, they're going to change Africa. They're wasting their time. I'm here to tell you that because this is the reason we are very loyal people. And if I come here, if I'm drowning, your pastor threw a life jacket for me. Once I get up, I owe my life, I owe him. That means my responsibility as long as I live is to protect him, protect his family, or anybody that is his friend. Do you all see how wars is still being fought in Africa? So if my whole life, he saved my life, I don't care what he's doing. As far as I'm concerned, he's all right. The same thing happened in Clarkson. When these people come in, the very first person that meet them and greet them, it can be Jehovah Witness, Mormon, or someone from the mosque. Guess what? You're not going to get them back. When they get them to listen to them, then you're not going to get them back. It's over. They will ever be grateful to the mosques and to the Muslims. They will ever be grateful to Mormons. Whoever get them first. And I've been saying this. I went and spoke at NAM. They asked me what they need to do. I told them the same thing. I said, the only thing we need to do is send missionaries to Clarkson because as soon as they get in there and someone grab them, it's over. You're not going to get them back. So that's the situation that we are in now. That's why I'm asking people to come, please come and help. Please, next slide. Building key relationships. Our people are not people that you get up and talk to them and give them high five and next day they listen to you. Since 2002, we have a network of families that they look after us, we look after them. Whatever happened, they come to us. When something happened, we know something is wrong, we go to them and tell them, okay, don't do it. They don't do it because they trust us. The same thing that I'm explaining now. Once you get them first, anybody else that coming, you don't count. You can come. This is how bad it is. If I start teaching somebody ESL, then I go recruit somebody else to come help me, they will not want to go to that person because that person and I, that family, we have a relationship. So if you come to Clarkson and grab one family, grab onto you, that's your family. They don't want anything from you. They just want, hey man, how's everything going? Everything okay? Yes, that's all they want. They're very capable of taking care of themselves. Next slide, please. I already said this, we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it without him. Gotta depend on Acts 1:8. When the Holy Spirit come upon you, you can do everything through Christ that strengthens you. But if you alone or me alone, nah, can do it. Holy Spirit have to be the one doing it. The Great Commission, Christ already given us the Great Commission. Go into all the world, make disciples, all the nations. So the nations has come to us. Everything is working in conjunction. This is what happened. Before I close, something happened now. emergency happened, you involved in humanitarian disaster, something happened. What happened to the family or whoever that thing happened to a country, guess what? Everybody go downward hill. Emergency disaster relief kicks in. They have to bring them to where they get stable. Then they bring them to this country. Then they start getting them help. And their lives start going up with all those stuff right there. When war starting, what is going on in Iraq, in Syria now, the first thing they're doing, take them to a refugee camp, prepare them, find some countries to take them. Then they move them to those countries. Then those countries start helping them. Then you have this trajectory going up to get their life happening again. This is what people don't understand. You get up in the morning, you go to work. You've been doing that for so long. Some of you have been working 13, 20, 30 years. You have a pattern. You get up in the morning, eat breakfast, go to work. Your kids go to school. Think about this. You get up one morning, go to school, go to work, your kids go to school. You never seen your kid for 3, 4, 5 years. You never seen your wife or your spouse 3, 4, 5 years, because when you leave at work, something happened that they took you and run you this way, your family run that way. That's the people that you see coming to your country. All they need is a brother or sister to wrap around them and do this to them on their shoulder. It's okay. God will take care of you. That's all they need. They're very good people, very good workers. So please come on down. Help me work with the people that God has been sending to you, our country. I really appreciate you giving me your time. I really do. Pastor Jimmy, thank you so much. The leadership, thank you so much. God bless you. Amen.
Here's what I want you to know. You hear a lot on the news, and it can be awfully frightening, but God did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. And when we see those things, we may not be able to control what's happening up in Washington. Well, let me change that. We can't control what's happening up in Washington. We can't control all these things. We can influence it. But the Great Commission is, regardless of what's happening up there, the Great Commission is still ours to carry out, to go in all the world. But we have an opportunity just up the road where we don't have to go very far. And we're in the world. 1 square mile, the most diverse 1 square mile in the southeastern United States. It's amazing. And most of us don't even know that it's there. The opportunities are there. God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And you will be a blessing. And we have been blessed so much by God. He has poured so much into our lives. He's touched us in so many ways. And He calls us to be a blessing. That blessing is not simply with financial assistance. Very often that blessing is with being present with a person, especially in the midst of their crisis. To come and sit with them in the ashes, to let them know that they're loved and not forgotten. It's very easy when we hear about refugees to put them all in the same bucket. We can treat them all the same way. But what you need to know and what I want you to know as your pastor is these are real people. Very few of them are here with negative intentions. Most of them, if they had their choice, would have kept their life in their own home country. They'd have kept on doing what they were doing. But that wasn't an option. We don't know much about that. We get up and we live in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. But they had their neighborhood taken away from them. Many of them are not here by choice, but they're here. And they need the gospel. They need Jesus. We have an opportunity by our praying, by our giving, to impact their lives. But you know what? We can also go. We don't have to go far. There's no ship involved. There's no airplane involved. There's a little bit of gas in the tank and a short ride up to Clarkston, where you will literally enter a different world. And so I want you to pray about maybe what God's laid on your heart as to how you might be able to help. And we'll be bringing other opportunities to you, church, so that you can figure out what's going on there and how you might fit in with this. But here's the key point. Regardless of where you're from, no matter what you've experienced, whether you're from Nigeria or you were born right here in the Southeast, everybody needs Jesus. And if you're here this morning, and somehow through this God's spoken to you and He's been drawing you to Himself, then I want to let you know today you can receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and begin a new life in Him. Some of you are looking for a church home. Maybe this morning you've recognized that, you know what, a church is bigger than I thought it was. I thought it was just kind of a small gathering of people. I show up once a week and I'm gone. I didn't realize that my life not only got intertwined with the people here, but got intertwined with a greater mission that went beyond. And I'm excited about that. I want to be a part of that. If you need a church home and God's leading you to Grace Fellowship, then I encourage you to come. And for others, you may just want to come and pray right now. Maybe God has done something in your heart and mind. Maybe He's brought some conviction into your life. Maybe He's let you see things in a new way this morning. And you just want to come and pray and say, God, help me to see the world as You see it, not as I see it on TV. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, I just want to challenge you to take that step, to say yes, and to respond to Him. Would you join your hearts with me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank You for what we have experienced today. And we ask that You would move in us right now to respond to You. Whether we're responding right there where we're standing, or whether we come and kneel, or whether we make a private personal decision, or whether we make something public, God, we ask that You would continue to move in us, to change us. Lord God, we look forward to the day when what we read about in Revelation comes to pass, where the nations will gather around Your throne. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation singing praise to You. Lord, we're just part of that. But we want to be a part of helping to grow that crowd, helping to reach more people. And so, Lord, would You motivate us to be people who live out the gospel? For this is our prayer in the powerful name of Jesus, our Savior.